Live from the Catholic Underground Studios, this is Finding Your Keys, a field guide for the everyday Catholic. Get ready to call in your comments and questions with your hosts, Joshua LeBlanc and Joe McLean.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Finding Your Keys, a field guide for the everyday Catholic. If you are listening, and it is Thursday evening, 6:30 p.m., we are live as always. So call in with your questions and comments. Reminder, that number is 1-866-333-6279. Again, that's 1-866-333-MARY. So go ahead and give us a call, and we're going to try and answer your question as best as we possibly can. The topic of tonight's program is natural family planning, otherwise known as NFP. Is it something different than what the world wants, or is it simply a Catholic version of contraception? And I'd like to welcome back, as usual, my co-host and always my special guest, Joe McLean of the Catholic Act Podcast. Welcome, Joe.
Josh, it's great to be back, but I'm not sure what you meant by special.
Well, we'll leave that for our listeners to just kind of figure out.
All right, thanks.
Joe is very special. No. I've also got a special guest this evening. As you know, we try and have over-the-air guests and do interviews. But I've got in persona tonight Father Brad Guillory. He is the parochial vicar, also known as the associate pastor here of St. Mary Magdalene, my home parish here in the Diocese of Lafayette. Father Guillory was recently ordained to the priesthood this past June 6th, the Feast of St. Norbert. So I'd like to welcome Father Guillory to the program this evening.
Thank you, Joshua. It's a pleasure to be here.
Father, you know, having just graduated seminary, should I say, some of this information is probably still fresh in your mind, talking about natural family planning and whatnot and morality. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the questions that I get the most as an apologist, theologian. People will ask, and even from Catholics, not just non-Catholics, but amazingly from a lot of Catholics, who will say, natural family planning, I don't understand what the difference is between that and contraception. And immediately they'll say, well, they both get at the same thing, so why can't I simply just choose to use contraception rather than practice this natural family planning? And that's a question that I'm sure you, as a priest and as a confessor, probably get quite often.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that essentially is even the name, contraception, is trying to avoid something. Mm-hmm. Whereas natural family planning is actually helping to plan your family. Not plan your parenthood, but plan your family. Mm-hmm. To help couples understand the cycle of their own fertility, to, first of all, to help them to conceive, because as some couples experience, it is a very difficult process when conception is not as easily accomplished. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so this process helps them, first of all, to recognize the own rhythms within the woman's body and also the man's or the husband's responsibility. Mm-hmm. To her, and help them to understand how God has made them. What is the natural process by which we've been wired for fertility? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Whereas contraception, on the other hand, is trying to say, I recognize I have a natural flow and a natural makeup of my fertility and my sexuality, but I don't want it. I want something else. So mm-hmm. let me, by some means, by some barrier, by some pill, by some injection, stop that good and holy thing, gift that God has given me and to my spouse.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's the, I guess that's the real key between the two is, first of all, we, as you notice, we talk about, and it's not even really the issue of natural versus artificial, because even the church talks about natural contraception in itself is inappropriate. And there's a difference between contraception and, as you noted, between contraception and natural family planning. And people sometimes don't recognize that difference. In fact, I was on my way just the other night to visit Joe and in Houston. I got back from Houston a couple days ago. And as I was driving to Houston, I had already told Joe, I said, this week I want to talk about natural family planning and contraception. And lo and behold, that evening on Catholic Answers Live, they had Tim Staples on, and Tim Staples was addressing the very topic. And I said, how appropriate that this would happen, not realizing. And some of the very issues that he brought up were the same issues that I planned on addressing tonight. And one of the questions he immediately said is, of course, we as Catholics recognize that it's not simply the act. It's about the intent of the act as well on behalf of the individual who is doing the act. Exactly. And why I say that is because, you know, say grandma is dying in the hospital. And you go to visit grandma and you know she's on her last leg. She's very close to the end. And so you sit there and you just be with her and you pray for her. And she dies on her own accord. Well, scenario number two, say grandmother's in the hospital and she's dying. And you decide to take it upon yourself to just take a pillow and place it over her face and smother her. Ultimately, both of those bring about the same result. They bring about the same effect. Now we see essentially there's two different. There's first of all the intent of the person is different, but there's something seriously wrong with one as opposed to another. And the same holds for natural family planning versus contraception. And this is the distinction I guess a lot of people don't really make. Is that when you look at contraception, you're essentially saying, God, you have placed, you have allowed, for example, we know that a woman's body at certain times of the month, she is infertile. And there are other times of the month where she is fertile. That is the natural way God created us as human beings to be. And so what happens is that we as human beings say, I'm going to ignore how God has created man and woman and simply use contraception because I want to engage in the sexual act whenever I feel like it and not on God's terms. And I am going to close off conception whenever I feel it is appropriate. And so I will use the pill, I will use condoms, whatever it is. Whereas the intention of natural family planning, at least it should be, yes, on behalf of the individual. The intention of natural family planning is very different. It is that you are always open to life. You are never placing a barrier between yourself and God's ability to, of course, allow a child to be conceived. You are using the natural fertility cycle that God has created and put into place to allow and make a decision whether you're going to engage in, of course, the marital act at times when a pregnancy could occur, or whether you're going to abstain from those times. And so it's a difference between exercising against self-control in natural family planning, and we see the real selfishness of the contraceptive act, because you say, I am going to engage in the sexual act anytime I want to. And God can't tell me when I'm going to engage in this and pregnancy will come about. That's the very different take on both of the two.
Exactly. I think you've touched on it there. The key thing is that virtue of charity, but also that gift of chastity that must exist within marriage. Marriage doesn't give you the license to do whatever you wish. with yourself or your spouse, there's still a certain the chastity that must exist within the bond to keep it sacred, to keep it holy. It's not just something for priests to worry about or religious to be chaste and pure, but also husbands and wives to be chaste and pure with each other in their union, to express the love of God for each other through the marital act and allow him to bless it and make it holy. And that's what natural family planning allows. And some may say, oh, it's just the old rhythm method.
Yeah.
But there has much development in...
Oh, sure.
In the whole process. It's not the old rhythm method.
No, we know that the rhythm method was very... you just simply guessed.
The mess.
No, now we've used science. And mm-hmm. really, we're not just guessing anymore. We've used science, and which is also known as the symptothermal method.
Yes.
We're taking temperatures. We're looking at bodily signs that God has given us to know when these changes in the human body are occurring. Mm-hmm. And so that's a big difference. Turning to you, Joe, we know that, you know, when was your, I guess, first real experience of natural family planning? I mean, because, I know that you're a convert to the faith, and some faiths don't. I mean, I'm sure some faiths do, but I don't know specifically what your background is with regards to natural family planning and your approach to natural family planning.
Well, you know, for my wife and I, we were contracepting for a long time. We simply were not convicted of it, but it was totally tied into that let go and let God experience that I've described so many times here on the show. You know, when we came through that process and God started to open our hearts to the truth of the church, and he was leading us back to becoming Catholic, you know, truly Catholic in our hearts and truly accepting the church's teaching, that was one of them, because we were contracepting. And, you know, part of that journey was I was introduced to a talk given by Christopher West called Marriage in the Eucharist. And this was a fundamental event, like sort of game changer kind of an event in my life, because for the first time, I was able to look at sexuality from a whole different perspective. You see, Josh, as we've talked about before, I was addicted to pornography for over 2 decades. And so my whole concept of what sexuality was completely screwed up, and it lent itself towards contracepting. And when I started to understand and started to study theology of the body, it really changed all that for me. It helped me to see it from a brand new perspective, to see how we can, as man and woman, married in that one flesh union, as Jesus refers to in Mark's Gospel, for example, chapter 10, verse 8, where we become one, and what God joins together, let no man separate. It's that opportunity to experience what God intended from the very beginning. And then, you know, what really gets me on when we talk about natural family planning is, because at that moment in our journey, we accepted the church's teaching. Whether we completely understood it or not, that was something completely different. We just said, look, like children, we're going to accept this, and we're going to start to practice this in our own life. And so we immediately stopped contracepting. We immediately began to learn more and more. In fact, we actually had the very great privilege of teaching a pre-cana course 3 years in the Diocese of New Hampshire, the church's teaching on sexuality, where we talked about NFP. But what gets me most about this topic, when I talk to fellow Catholics or other Christians, you know, they'll throw the argument at me, well, you know, God gave us intelligence. He gave us the ability to understand and to explore and to do science. And so we should be able to use contraception because God's given us intelligence to create such things. You know, then I'll say, well, okay, God has intended for the bodies to function in a certain way. But somehow that is completely tossed out of the window. You know, even if you don't believe in quote unquote God, you have to look at nature and say, this is how nature works. I mean, it really bothers me how a lot of faithful and not can really look at something and totally ignore the obvious point, you know, totally ignore what is so plainly obvious, that this is how the body works. You know, I've always said that when we use something contrary to what it was intended for, we break it. I don't use a glass to hammer nails into a wall because it'll break. The same is true for the body. Every time we use the body contrary to the way it was intended, we break it. And we break not only physically, but we also break emotionally and spiritually. because we've seen that. That's what Humani Vitae nailed, you know, so prophetically, that we would not lift women up in their value and worth. We would tear them down through contraception. And I think we've seen the fruits of that today, because I can't even go to the grocery store. I can't even go to a convenience store without having to be subjected to a scantily clad woman in their image, in their magazines or on cutouts and billboards and you name it. And I think this is at the heart of where the faithful really need to embrace natural family planning, don't you?
Yeah, I'm wholeheartedly agree with you. And, you know, not only should we embrace natural family planning, but too often I think as Catholics I see this with other Catholics, and it really drives me nuts, because it's not simply the issue of using they think it's, you know, I'll talk to other Catholics and they'll think, well, I'm not using artificial contraception. I'm using natural family planning as a method not to become pregnant. And so that makes it okay. Too often you see Catholics who are using natural family planning as nothing more than a mode of contraception. And my point is unless you get out of this contraceptive mentality, it doesn't matter whether you're using natural family planning. It doesn't matter whether you're using the pill. And it doesn't matter whether you're using a condom. If you still have an intention as a human being to preclude the sexual act, and it's for selfish reasons, it's still sinful. And too often, for those of you who don't know, my wife and I have had, you know, difficulty in attempting to become pregnant. And so often, whenever I hear other Catholic couples talk about, well, you know what, we're using natural family planning because we don't want to get pregnant, and they'll tell you their reasons, and they always seem very superficial and very selfish, it sometimes makes me so mad. Not because, you know, they have something that, you know, I would want to really give my wife, but because they don't realize the gift that God gives us as human beings in our fertility. When you look at Humani Vitae, as you talked about, Joe, one of my favorite documents, for those who don't know Humani Vitae, paragraph 16, it talks about this, and it says, if then there are serious motives to space out births which derive from the physical or psychological conditions of husband and wife or from external conditions, the church teaches that it is then licit to take into account the natural rhythms imminent in the generative functions. This is also again found and echoed in a little later, of course, Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 2368, which says, for just reasons, spouses may wish to space the births of their children. It is their duty to make certain that their desire is not motivated by selfishness, but is in conformity with their generosity appropriate to responsible parenthood. Moreover, they should conform their behavior to the objective criteria of morality. Before we talk about this, there's one more, and this one's really good as well. This is even more recent. This is a recent release, probably about a year ago, from the Vade Mecum for Confessors concerning some aspects of the morality of conjugal life, section 2.6. This was released by the Pontifical Council for the Family. And again, this document was specifically given to confessors so they could advise of penitence and confession. It says, however profoundly different from any contraceptive practice is the behavior of married couples who always remaining fundamentally open to the gift of life, live their intimacy only in the unfruitful periods when they are led to this course by serious motives of responsible parenthood. This is true both from the anthropological and moral points of view, because it is rooted in a different conception of the person and of sexuality. The witness of couples who for years have lived in harmony with the plan of the Creator and who for proportionately serious reasons licitly use the methods rightly called natural confirms that it's possible for spouses to live the demands of chastity and of married life with common accord and full self-giving. And there's a lot to be said there. I mean, when you look back, what the Catechism says, that it can't be motivated for selfishness. Guess what? If you're using natural family planning and it's motivated for selfish reasons, then you're doing no better than the couple out there who is using contraceptives. It's the same principle. You might be open to life in the sense that that you're not using a barrier, but the point being that if you intend, for example, I know couples who get married, say we're going to use natural family planning, we never intend on having children. We're going to use natural family planning for you know, the duration of our life. Well, that's not what natural family planning was meant for, and that's not what the church says can be used licitly. It may be a valid use of it, but it's not an illicit use of that faculty. It's a faculty. It's a good which has been given to us, and using that good wrong. Wouldn't you agree, Father?
Sure. There are two points I'd like to make. Is, you know, from John Paul II in his Theology of the Body, one thing he mentioned was the problem with our Western society and our culture is not that we have overvalued sex or we've become too sexualized. It's that we've actually undervalued it.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's undervalued, it can be exploited.
Right.
It can be belittled. It can be robbed of its true dignity and its true purpose.
Mm-hmm. And I remind you, that was one of Pope Paul VI's predictions in Humanae Vitae, that very thing would happen.
Exactly. He was very prophetic. If any of our listeners have not read Humanae Vitae, I suggest you pull it up on the internet. Go to the Vatican website. Buy it in a bookstore. It's excellent. Pope Paul VI made predictions, and one of them would be the undervaluing of women and the marketing and selling of human sexuality as something to gain money in business, and eventually it would be used by governments to control the population, which I don't want to go into that subject.
Yeah, certainly the case.
But the other one, which I think is very valid, is G.K. Chesterton once said, there really is no such thing as birth control. When you're using contraceptives or using natural family planning as it has not intended, it means less births with no control.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a birth control.
Yeah.
It is a selfish mean. It becomes a selfish means, and then therefore you have no control over your own passions. You're giving yourself permission to do what you would like.
Yeah.
And then there is no births coming from it.
Now, we know, as you mentioned, Father, that, you know, there are, or I shouldn't say you were mentioning necessarily, but as we were talking about a few minutes ago, there are, of course, legitimate reasons that one could use natural family planning. And there are a whole host of them. What I'd like to do is, we've still got a few minutes till the break. I'd like to talk about that when we come back from the break, because I think that's really, we could really go into that for a while. But, you know, Joe, jumping to you for a second, Joe, I mean, how do you view, or what has been your experience in dealing with others specifically regarding this contraceptive mentality regarding natural family planning?
Well, I hate to put it this way, but for lack of better words, the sheer ignorance of what natural family planning really is, and also the ignorance of what contraception really is. Folks don't understand that contraception is an abortifacient. They don't really get that abortions
that's
occur
another issue too
during contraception, and they don't even know it. And there's a statistic that women can have up to 4 abortions a year when they are on contraceptions. I mean, that's not, you don't want a single abortion in your life, let alone 4 a year. And so it's a very serious topic. And so oftentimes when we encounter folks, whether they're practicing Catholics or not, we have to sort of educate them as to what contraception is and what it does and how it works. And then we talk about natural family planning, because, again, putting the issue of planning your children to the side just for a second, it is a good thing for a woman, let alone a couple, to really understand their fertility cycle. Because the more they educate themselves as to how the body naturally works, how God designed it, the better, the more that they'll understand all kinds of things in their life. And so they can also begin to have a real good discussion about that topic. you know, natural family planning is a great icebreaker on the topic between a man and a woman in a marriage. And so there's all kinds of real benefits to just understanding natural family planning, to studying it, to really implementing it in your own life. Now, as far as my wife and I go, my wife tracks her fertility cycle through the change in the mucus, which is a great method. You can actually learn more about that at onemoresoul.com or omsoul.com. But there's no planning in our family. No. We leave that to God. You know, we'll let God decide how many kids we should have. Now, that's not easy. We've got four now and three in heaven, prayerfully. It's not easy, but we want to be people of faith. And so as imperfect as we are, we still trust God for that. And we just simply live our lives and utilize the natural family planning to just, at the very least, understand our cycles and understand how that will affect us.
Yeah, and sure, Joe, and not to mention the fact that people automatically think that natural family planning, oh, it's used not to get pregnant. But I know so many couples who have used natural family planning as a method to conceive. In fact, it's one of the best methods to conceive because you're using these natural, God-given signs to know when your body is most likely to be fertile. And, you know, one of our listeners in the chat room there is mentioning my favorite. I'd be remiss if I did not mention her, Dr. Janet Smith. And Dr. Janet Smith in her talk, Contraception, Why Not, talks about, if you ever listen to Garrison Keillor and his Prairie Home Companion, Garrison Keillor talks about how once a year the pastor of the church in Lake Wobegon, which is called Our Lady of Perpetual Responsibility, the pastor there gives a one-sentence homily on contraception, and it goes like this. If you don't want to go to Detroit, what are you doing on the train? And it makes so much sense if you think about it. Parents tell their children constantly, well, if you didn't want to get sick, then why were you drinking so much the night before? They don't give their child a whole bunch of pills and say, drink as much as you want. This will absorb the alcohol, even if such a thing did exist. Same thing is we don't give our children guns and tell them, you know, just wear a bulletproof vest. You'll be okay. So why do we hand our children condoms and hand our children birth control pills and say, you know what? You're going to have sex anyway. Just make sure you're having, quote unquote, safe sex. And that's the point I always bring about is that you're doing nothing different than telling your children it's okay to play with guns. Just wear a bulletproof vest whenever you do so. It's the same thing. You're playing a very dangerous game in that sort of thing. But Dr. Janet Smith, of course, she teaches about natural law, and she gives that again. That's one of those very she gives one of her one sentence teaching on natural law, and she says, you don't put sugar in the car of your gas tank to make it run. She said, no, you put gasoline in the car to make it run. Same thing is true for human sexuality. You know, we don't attempt as human beings to say what is God's realm and what's not. We know that God has placed within us these periods for things to happen. And we need to respect those where it's appropriate.
Real quick, Josh, you know, I just wanted to respond to that because you've hit on a very key point here that I think folks need to understand. And Humanae Vitae really brought this out. It's not that folks don't understand that there's consequence to action. It's that folks don't want consequence to action.
That's right.
That's the key fundamental issue there. You know, they don't
want. Well, no, it's absolutely true.
But see, the problem is, as Humanae Vitae points out, what we've done now as a society is we've taken women who naturally were created to bring forth life into the world, to help populate the planet, and we've sterilized them. We've turned them into something like a man, completely breaking them, as I mentioned earlier, utilizing the body for the wrong task breaks the object, you know, breaks the body, breaks the person, spiritually, physically, emotionally, the whole thing. You know, this is the issue. People need to embrace and take responsibility for the fact that we are created, We are created for a purpose. And when we try to take away that and say, well, I want all of the pleasure and none of the responsibility, as a good form in our chat box pointed out earlier, it's kind of like bulimia. We sort of spew out the food because we don't want the physical effects of food. We just want to taste its, you know, very juicy flavors. We just don't want it to give us the love rings. So we spew it out into the toilet. You know, the same effect is going on here. And it's a very important point, and it's so dysfunctional that when we talk to people about this, we need to keep that in the back of our mind. We must address that issue if we're going to get to the heart of the matter.
Yep. And reminder to everyone, we're talking tonight about natural family planning. Is it simply a Catholic form of contraception? We're here with Joe McClain and our special guest, Father Brad Guillory, priest of the Diocese of Lafayette, Louisiana. Give us a call, 1-866-333-6279. We're going to go ahead and take a short break, and we'll come back and we'll talk more about this topic and maybe answer some of your questions or comments. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. There is more to come on Finding Your Keys.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home, on KJMJ 580 AM, Alexandria, Louisiana, KDEI 1250 AM, Port Arthur, Texas, KNIR 1360 AM, New Iberia, Louisiana, WHJM 88.7 FM, Anna, Ohio, KBIO 89.7 FM, Natchitoches, Louisiana, KOJO 91.1 FM, Lake Charles, Louisiana, WULM 1600 AM, Springfield, Ohio, WHHN 88.1 FM, Hollidaysburg, Pennsylvania, and online at radiomaria.us.
I woke up in darkness, surrounded by silence. Oh, where have I gone? I woke to reality, losing its grip on me. Oh, where have I gone? 'Cause I can see the light before I see the sunrise. You call it, you shine it, roll through my deafness. Now I'm breathing in and breathing out, I'm alive again. You shatter my time. You waited for me, I searched for you. What took me so long? I was looking outside as a fly would ever want to hide, finding I was wrong. 'Cause I can feel the wave, for it hits my skin. You call it, you shine it, roll through my deafness. Now I'm breathing out, I'm alive again. You shatter my darkness, wash away my blindness. Now I'm breathing out.
welcome back to Finding Your Keys with Joshua LeBlanc.
Well, welcome back to Finding Your Keys, everyone. Again, this is Josh LeBlanc and Joe McLean, and our special guest tonight, Father Brad Guillory, a priest here in the Diocese of Lafayette. We're talking about natural family planning. Is it simply Catholic contraception? Reminder, call in with your questions or comments, 1-866-333-6279. One more time, 1-866-333-6279. You know, in the break there, Father, we were kind of talking a little bit, you and I, about something you had read recently. You said we're talking about how we as human beings want essentially a lot of pleasure without pain.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I read this article several years ago, and it was addressing some of the deeper issues that we're discussing tonight, and how the contraceptive mentality has pervaded our culture more than just within the marital act and within our own sexuality, mm-hmm. but even in our other aspects of our lives, this whole idea of the pleasure of an act without the result of an act. Mm-hmm. And this author was stretching it further, but making a valid point, saying we have non-caffeinated sodas. Mm-hmm. We want to have the effect of a soda, mm-hmm. but not the result of the caffeine. Same thing for coffee, except for us who are diabetic or hypoglycemic, it was mentioning. The non-sugar mm-hmm. Sodas or non-sugar candy or even near beer, so you mm-hmm. can have the pleasure of drinking alcohol without the result of it. All these various things, and they listed a whole bunch of them. And it's sort of like those things. So even those sort of come with a warning label. If you don't follow the natural use of these products, we end up making ourselves sick, or we make ourselves not the way we really would want to be.
Yeah.
From the various results of artificial sugars that can cause other illnesses, or those sugar-free candies with the warning of a laxative effect.
Yeah, it's really true that we do live in a society where we want, you know, many things. Well, first of all, we want instant pleasure. Mm-hmm. We want instant results, and we don't want to have to work for them. It's true. When you look around, one of the latest fads, of course, is gastric bypass. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to eat like they want, and they just go get gastric bypass, or even better, I recognize that there are people who have problems. I'm not a small person. I recognize this, and it's very difficult to lose weight. But also things like, for example, talk about this contraceptive mentality of wanting to, for example, in food, wanting to eat food like you want, and then, oh, I'm just going to go have liposuction, mm-hmm. and then it will just be removed from me. I won't have to have the effects.
Or like the ancient Romans with their greased feathers going to the vomitorium.
Oh, yes.
So they could eat more at their banquet.
That's right. They could eat more at the banquet, so just go vomit which you had already eaten so you could have more. It's true. We live in a society where we want to live as we want, and sometimes we don't recognize that there are consequences to our actions, whether those consequences be good or bad. There are consequences to our actions. For example, when you look at all of these acts, for example, God created food and for the purpose of nourishing our bodies. The truth about it is, if food didn't taste absolutely delightful, we as human beings probably wouldn't engage in it. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't eat it. But God made food taste delightful so that we would eat it and our bodies would be nourished. It is a consequence. Pleasure is a consequence. It's never an end goal for something. It is a consequence of some act. The same is true for the sexual act. You don't engage in sexuality simply because it's pleasurable. It is a result of the act. And so, you know, that's one of the reasons, because as the church has always taught, there are two ends to the sexual act. First, there is, and primary to note, is first is the procreative function of the act, that it's open to procreation. God made the sexual act to bring about more human beings, and that is why he made it pleasurable. If it wasn't pleasurable, human beings wouldn't engage in it, and then the population of the world would be, well, basically what it is today. Mm-hmm. But we choose to simply contracept ourselves out of existence. When you have countries that drive me nuts, like Italy, that have a 1.1% birth rate, when you need about 2.2 or 2.3 to even reach replacement. Okay, but accounting for those individuals who died due to accidents and sickness and whatnot, you have countries like Italy who are contracepting themselves out of existence, the Italians are contracepting themselves out of existence. The Muslims who have moved into these countries who do not believe in birth control are certainly growing by leaps and bounds. In fact, it's been said that if we wash ourselves within 200 years, we'll have another Constantinople on our hands in Rome. We'll see that St. Peter's Basilica becomes a mosque in our own time. But not to get too far, I mean, before we came back from break, we had talked about that there are certainly with natural family planning, there are certainly certain instances which we would consider these serious or grave reasons, which we can look at and decide if one can certainly follow natural family planning. And I always try to tell people that it's not a one-size-fit-all answer with regards to natural family. It's really something you have to take to your confessor, to your spiritual director, and discuss with that person to make a determination whether that is a right fit for you.
And also, I would say, speak to your doctor.
Yes.
If your doctor is prescribing you certain contraceptive just indiscriminately, they wouldn't prescribe any other medicine that way. So seek out those good doctors, and you may have them in your area. I'm sure you can contact your local family life office of your diocese that would help you locate those good doctors who would help you with this. Because one of the beauties with natural family planning, it's a great way that we can see the faith and reason coming together and working together. You know, we had especially earlier in the summer, we had a movie that came out in the box office that dealt with those issues of faith and reason. But the church, especially in the areas of bioethics, relies greatly upon science, upon science to present to her means that are acceptable. And certain means science presents that the church just says, please, we encourage you to go back to the drawing board and find something that can be more acceptable that we can endorse. We want to endorse what you have to say. So please use your God-given ability of reason and science and let us work with the faith to discover the one truth that is there to help couples come together to both deal with the faith and the reason aspect. Because another baseline thing, we're both body and spirit, and that all has to be treated as one person, especially when it comes to the procreative act, because God is inviting the married couple to create with him, to bring a new being into existence.
Right, and that's hence the word procreation, is that we create with God, for God, in a sense, the word pro. You know, one of the things that, again, because all these topics are really, you have to really look at the individual and the individual circumstances to determine whether or not natural family planning is illicit. Mm-hmm. One of the callers the other night kept calling Catholic Answers and asking the same question over and over. He actually called twice and asked the question, can a couple licitly get married and engage in natural family planning throughout their entire marriage and do it licitly? Now, again, that is one of those situations that requires specific circumstances. Objectively, the answer is no. You can't become married and intend to engage in natural family planning your entire marriage for the purpose of not having children. You can't. But, again, there always are extenuating circumstances. Now, from a canonist point of view, you cannot enter into a marriage with the intention of never having children. That's not a marriage.
No, you're making grounds for an annulment.
Yeah, you're making very good grounds for an annulment. The tribunal will sign off on that one pretty quickly.
They'll do it in their sleep.
That's right. Because we recognize that you're violating one of the two principles from the very start. Is you can't enter into a marriage if you do not agree to the very two things that marriage is produced for. Again, that sexual act is for engaging procreative and for the unitive, or as Dr. Janet Smith says, babies in bonding is how she puts it. That's the goal of the sexual act. And so if for example, you engage or know from the very beginning of a marriage that you have to practice natural family planning for your entire marriage for the purpose of not getting married, even though it's some kind of medical condition, even that marriage would be doubtful, would be very doubtful. I wouldn't say that it's downright invalid or downright illicit, but I would say it's very doubtful and that you would need to talk to a canonist about that. Now, say a couple gets married and they fully intend at the time of their marriage to have children. They get married, and 3 months down the line, they find out that the wife has some kind of disease, and I'm not even going to venture to say, but it's again, this is all hypothetical. She has a condition which causes her that if she would ever to become pregnant, there's a good chance that she would die. There was a very good chance that she would die. That person, in speaking with their spiritual director and in their unique circumstance, may be able to licitly practice natural family planning for the prevention of children. Because, again, there are extenuating circumstances. And it's not for selfish reasons. Okay? Again, that's an extenuating circumstance. And that's something that has to be applied on an individual basis. The question comes down to the serious, or should I say, the motivation of why you're using natural family planning. Are you using natural family planning because maybe you've already got 7 children and you just couldn't afford the burden of one more child? You're already making use of this. I would say that it's a legitimate use of natural family planning. But here's the other, the turn side of the coin. Do you already have 2 children and you're practicing natural family planning because maybe you and your wife have high-priced careers and you love living the lifestyle that you live and don't want to have to give up your $5 million home or, your $50,000 cars? If that's the reason you're practicing natural family planning to prevent children, well, those are certainly not proportionate reasons and certainly issues to be looked at when you say, Father.
I would say right on. There are those legitimate means to have recourse, as Pope Paul VI would say, to those infertile periods to help the couples because there's various – and again, like you were reading, it's on individual basis. We can't make sweeping statements that this must apply to all
married
couples.
Yeah, it's not a one-size-fit-all situation. So
but it has to be done individually. The couple really needs to discuss with themselves, with each other, what are their plans for their family? What are they able to afford? You know, but it's not a finance issue because, we don't want to reduce your children down to be, a dollar amount.
Yeah.
Because that reduces their personhood.
Sure.
But also realize, one of the phrases of Mother Teresa of Calcutta, it is a real poverty that a child must die for you to live as you want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, she was refusing that to refer to abortion.
Yeah.
But the selfish motive, if it is because I have this type of lifestyle that I want to lead, and if I have a child, they're going to, I'll be blunt, suck the life out of me and take away what I want to do. I won't have to be able to have as many vacations this year. I can't have 3 cars in the garage.
That's
I can't
right.
live in as big as of a house, or I now have to give one of my rooms over to a nursery.
Yeah.
Is that the basis we want to use to planning our family? Whether God gives you 2, 3, 4, 7, 12, 14, who knows? But
or even still, I know someone
or
who
if you're
said,
unable.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard someone recently say, I've got 1 or 2 children or 3 children even, and I feel fulfilled. I've got 1 boy, 1 girl, and I feel absolutely fulfilled. And so I'm going to practice natural family planning because I don't think I need any more children. Well, that's to me selfish motives. And that's what we have to look at. This is where, so often as those on the left side of issues like to call into question or to call into question, like to call in conscience and talk about conscience. Natural family planning is really one of those issues where ultimately you kind of have to rely on the conscience of the individual. Mm-hmm. Have to have a well-informed conscience.
Yes,
and you have to look because no one can really know the circumstances better than the couple who are using natural family planning. So they have to be very informed.
even, you know, it's sort of like I was telling a couple one time, they were having difficulty, or the wife wanted a child,
mm-hmm.
and the husband did not, or they both wanted one, but they're just like, well, you know, we don't know if we can afford this, and they were not a Catholic couple, and they said, yeah. but your church says this and that. I said, almost told them, says, do you realize what the church is asking you to go home and do?
Mm-hmm.
Do you not want to have children? Oh, yes, we do, but we don't know if we don't, we have, and they listed all their finances. I said, well, do you need to have this many things going on in your life? You need to sit down as a couple and look at what are yeah. you, how are you proceeding with your marriage, first of all, then also, how are you being open to your children and also to the children you have right now?
Yeah, and that's the thing is we can always come up with excuses to not do something. You can come up with a million excuses. I can come up with 20 excuses. I guarantee you to not go to work in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I can come up with 100 excuses to not go to Mass on the weekend. We can come up with excuses to not do something. And, of course, having children is – another one, unless, again, we have that heart of Christ, who is a generous heart, and we look at ourselves and realize that we are to be generous. God, who said, let the little children come to me, if we're not providing them with children, no children are going to go to him.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, I think as a parents and husbands and wives in the world, we find a multitude of our value, not all of it again, a multitude of our value in those souls which we help co-create and bring to God. I think that's ultimately the salvation of a husband and wife is through their children. And I know we've only got a couple of minutes left. So, Joe, I'm going to – you know, I've kind of left you out of the loop in this second half of the show. So I'm going to give you the last word.
Ah, that's all right. I'm used to it, Josh. It's really okay. Yeah, but, you know, I did want to bring up – I did want to bring up – you mentioned earlier about the birth rate and how dangerous – dangerously low it is in Europe. But you know what? This country is not much far behind. We are, I think, maintaining that 2.1 right now, but already we're seeing lots of pressure from certain political groups who are trying to get us focused on, you know, the green movement, as they call it in some circles, saying, you know, the best thing you can do, and I heard this just the other day, you know, this person said the best thing you can do is not, you know, use less paper or use bio-friendly fuel or solar panels. No, the best thing you can do is have less children, have fewer kids,
yeah.
because they're the biggest source of methane gas into the environment and causing all this greenhouse effect. Okay, this is a very dangerous time because a lot of faithful will be fooled into thinking that way, that they're doing a good thing, they're being good stewards of the environment simply by having less children. And again, that's not what's intended by God, you know, in the use of natural family planning, or even worse, to then justify contracepting, you know, so that you could be a good steward of the environment. No, I'm sorry. The best thing you can do is to live out that command that God gave to that very first couple, to go forth to have children and to fill the face of the earth. You know, and the good news is, you know, bottom line is we're going to be outpopulating, you know, those who don't agree with us, like the Muslims are to Europe. You know, if we continue to have children, well, then we'll have plenty of us still around to keep the faith going. But so I just thought that was a very important point because, you know, a lot of faithful that I talk to who struggle with the idea that there shouldn't be contracepting and really sort of are protesting the church in this regard, they're so willing to come to Jesus and trust him for, you know, all kinds of things, trust God to provide for their needs, trust God to make sure that they keep their job, trust God for all these little things. But when it comes to the bedroom, they refuse to let God in. You know, we can't look at the cross and say, Jesus, save my soul, but stay out of my bedroom. Stay out of my sex life. Don't you come near that. That's my choice. That's my realm. You know, we have to give everything to God. We have to pour ourselves out like a libation if we are to truly understand and have communion with him. When we receive Christ at the Mass and that host is lifted up before our eyes and we are told the body of Christ, we say amen. We receive him It's the same as the one flesh union between a man and a woman. We become one with our Lord. We can't hold anything back. We don't contracept that relationship with Jesus on Sunday. We certainly can't do it at any point in the bedroom with our spouses. And so, again, just to reiterate, the selfish attitude is what must be killed. That's what must be contracepted. That's what must be aborted. We must not give of ourselves completely, as St. Paul talks about in Ephesians 5. We must give ourselves, pour ourselves out like a libation for our spouse if we are to truly live out the command that God has given us as a married man and woman.
Yep. And that's the case, Joe. You know, one more comment before we go for the evening is keep in mind, too, that until 1930, every Christian church in the world, every Christian church taught that contraception was wrong until the Anglican Church at the Lambeth Council in 1930 permitted it for serious reasons. It is only the Catholic Church that still to this day that says contraception is wrong. And so I want to thank you all for joining us this week. Before we leave, I'm going to go ahead and ask Father to please give us his blessing. Yes.
And this goes out to all of you, our listeners, and who may be listening to us later in an archive. May Almighty God bless you all and keep you safe and make his face shine upon you and give you his peace and bless you abundantly with his life. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, and we'll see you next week.